theme today, a new subject. It's a little dark, so the guys with the lights maybe put them on because I can't even see any of the people in the room. Let's pray. Father, this morning we want to hear from you. This is your church. She is beautiful to you. You're busy perfecting her. And Jesus, one day you're coming back for her. So come, Lord. And speak to us. Help us to be ready for your return. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
The next couple of months, I want to focus a bit on leadership. I want us to have a better understanding of godly leadership. And as a church, we're going to be training some specific guys. If all goes well, we're also going to be ordaining a new elder. Now we, as the elders, don't ordain other elders. But we recommend, together with the congregation, somebody and then we ask for someone who is an apostolic partner to us. Someone who's objective, who's on the outside, to come in and do the ordination. Because that's the biblical pattern. And it protects us. And it protects the church. Because there must be an external endorsement or recognition that this is of God. Otherwise, the leadership can become a bit corrupt, or they can just be a bit biased, a bit bent in a certain direction. We want good leadership. So we recognize our own weakness and obey the word of God to protect the church from abuse of leadership. So I say, if all goes well, meaning if the outside scrutiny, if the person who looks from the outside says it's okay, and it seems right to us and the Holy Spirit, we should have a new elder within a month or so. So I'll give you more details next week. And in a few more weeks, we're hoping to appoint some more deacons. Why do we sense the timing is right for more leadership? Because prophetically, we believe God is taking us into a new season. New challenges and battles. And new opportunities. And before you go into war, you get your weapons ready.
de adoră funda lui Fiat din nou.
Guess who the weapons are in the kingdom of God?
De fapt, ce vreau eu îi zic, lui Fiat din nou, am de față care a ceva?
They're people. It's people that go into battle. It's people that God works with. And you see throughout Scripture, God comes and He lays hold of people and He says, I've got a job for you. And I honestly believe God has a job for each one of us in His kingdom. And so in the light of where this church is heading, the going to a new piece of land, the growing into a new inheritance, the increase that God wants to bring, means we need to be a people who say we're ready to step up to the next level. That's why I want to speak about leadership over the coming month or two. To help prepare us all. Because God has always got more in store for us. What do you think? This is a bit of a tease, a bit of a, I want to push you a bit. What do you think is the biggest problem in Madagascar? Leadership.
Yeah.
Pete Howard Brown, who came to Madagascar many, many times. He's like an apostolic father to this church. And he had come many times with loving but hard words. And he said the problem here is passive men. Passive men. Men who sit back and don't actually lead with integrity, with skill. That's hard to hear. But it's spoken because of love. Pete's deep love for Madagascar makes him want the best for the people. But he says something is wrong when it comes to leadership. Because the men don't lead very strongly. Now I want to speak this morning about the abomination of not leading. So I want to do more positive stuff later. But I want to settle one thing this morning. Not leading is a stench in God's nostrils. So when God looks and people step back and don't lead, He doesn't say, oh, look at that nice, humble, gentle man. He says, no, that's wrong. You must step up and you must lead. You see, leadership is a wonderful privilege. And it's a reflection of God's nature to lead. God is strong. He's creative.
mai mamurna.
He takes initiative.
Ar manjai tingena foluania.
He builds something.
Ar is mananga na sabot.
Bible says he doesn't even sleep.
Ar pai pul de mlazoi na izera de tsmatur mits.
That he worked to produce this world. And he handed over leadership to Adam. And he said to Adam, take care of it. Not just maintain it, but bring it to fullness. If you think you can just maintain, then you don't know the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God is about increase. Maintenance just stays the same. But the kingdom things always grow and increase. From strength to strength, glory to glory.
It
means from one level to another level. Going up. More building. More growing. More exploring. More land to possess. More battles to fight. And we're in a war. The kingdom of God is advancing. And if you are passive, you should be shot. That's what would happen in the army. You know, the soldiers, the general says, advance. You take up arms, you charge forwards. You face the enemy. Or you turn your back and you sip your coffee. You sit down under the tree. And the general comes up to you and says, you have left my army, and he shoots you. Because in war you would be considered a deserter. Aren't you glad God is a little more gracious than that? But just because God doesn't come and shoot us when we're lazy, does not mean he approves of us parking off and doing nothing. In the time of Israel's kind of worst time in history, you get the book of Judges, and things go horribly wrong. There's lack of leadership, lack of vision. And at the end of the book of Judges, there's a sad line. It says, in those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. In other words, everyone did as he saw fit. I think today I'll just stay at home. I think I will build this little house for myself. What if God says he's got a house for you to build? His house. But you say, no, I'll just work on my little project. Like mommy. He's a good guy. But we used to laugh together. Because his car was like a gift from the devil. He had this car, and the car was forever saying, "You have to work on me." It was not going. And mommy would SMS. I'm going to be late because of the car. Or I can't make it today. The car. It's broken. I got an SMS just this week. From a bazaar. If you think I'm picking on the Malagasy's. And he said to me, "I can't come this Sunday. My car is broken." And these things say, attend to us. And there has to come a point where we say, enough. The kingdom of God is advancing. And I'm not going to let this thing stand in my way. I think mommy got rid of that car in the end. Because he said he's going to advance with the kingdom of God. And not just repair cars. And this is the thing with our lives. The devil can supply an endless lot of distractions. But we have to become rebellious against those things. And say, so I'm not going to get sucked down into a life of maintenance. But I'm going to get into the battle. The problem with judges is that no one had any vision, and so they just looked after their own stuff. And if all you've been doing is looking after your own stuff, just your family, just your job, just your car, you haven't seen enough of the kingdom of God. It's not good enough for you to just do as you please, as you see fit. You have to ask the question, God, what are you doing? And what do you require of me? What must I do to be part of the purposes of God? I want to run through a few examples of just how bad it is not to step up and get involved. The first and well-known example is the one of Ahab. More people know about Ahab because of Jezebel. Jezebel was the manipulative wife. And Ahab was the leader who didn't lead. He was the passive husband. And this is a disgusting story. And the Bible says these stories serve as a warning to us. So we look at them, we learn from them, and we make sure our lives are not like those lives. You guys know the story? Ahab was a king, and he was supposed to lead, and he went to a man called Naboth.
And
he said, I want to build something. Sell me your vineyard. Now you know in those days, the king had the authority just to take what he needed to do what the kingdom needed.
But
Ahab goes and he makes a little tender request. He says, please can I buy your vineyard? The man with Ahab's authority should have just said, I'm taking your vineyard. It sounds oppressive, I know. But this is what I want you to get. There's a decisive action to be taken.
But
Ahab is indecisive. Have you ever seen a movie where the bad guy is running away or racing away in a car? And maybe the policeman is coming. And he's on foot. And he needs to chase that guy. And someone's driving past. Innocent. Some gentleman going to the office to work, an accountant. And the policeman jumps in front with his gun. Points it at the innocent guy. And says, get out of your car. Throws him out. Takes his car. And chases the bad guy. Smashes the car. Catches the bad guy. Kicks him and punches him a few times.
Where he shoots him.
It's a happy ending. Now in that story, we celebrate the hero, the policeman who caught the bad guy. We don't go and say, oh, what a bad policeman, he threw someone out of their car. So Naboth is the accountant driving the car. And Ahab is the policeman. And Ahab's supposed to go somewhere. And Naboth is his right. So Ahab goes to Naboth and says, can I have your vineyard? And Naboth says no. So picture the movie. If the policeman comes with his gun to the guy in the car and says, give me your car. The guy says, no. You know what happens next? The policeman takes the car by force. But you know what Ahab does? He goes back home. He lies down in his bed. Sucks his tongue. Like a little baby. And he cries. I'm feeling so sorry for myself. Jezebel comes in. She says, what's wrong with you? And he says, Naboth wouldn't give me his vineyard. So Jezebel, she says, okay, don't worry. I'll take care of it.
And
I think she was raised by the mafia. Because she knows how to do enforcement. She knows she takes Ahab's ring, the symbol of his authority. And she goes and writes letters in his name. Stirs up people against Naboth and they take the vineyard. Now everybody is always saying, that woman has a Jezebel spirit, she's manipulative. In the church, women get criticized for being too strong in leadership. But you know what caused it? The real abomination is the Ahab, who's lying in bed when he should be leading. I've got nothing against a woman who has conviction, who's strong, who has vision. But I have a problem with the man who surrenders his authority and lies in bed like Ahab did. Takes no leadership for his life. And we know how the story plays out. God's judgment comes against the situation. Because God is disgusted with that whole picture. So let's go back to the movie so you can see it more clearly. In the movie,
our film.
This is the Ahab movie now. He goes to the guy in the car. He says, give me your car. And the man says, no, I won't. That's the Naboth. So then the policeman, instead of reaching for his gun, He reaches for his cell phone. And he walks away. And he sits down on the bench. And he watches the bad guy race away over the hill. And he sees the car that he should have. And he takes out his phone. And he goes on Facebook. And he sits there on Facebook feeling sorry for himself. And then his wife phones. And he's like, hello. What happened?
He says,
oh no, the bad guy got away. The other guy doesn't give me his car. So his wife says, don't worry, wait for me there, I'm coming. She races up on a motorbike. She jumps off. She goes to the policeman, takes his gun, takes his badge, walks up to the other guy in his car, uses the badge like a ninja star, cuts the guy's head off. Shoots him a few times just so it's not too quiet.
And
takes the car, goes and catches the bad guy, comes back to her husband, the policeman, and says, yeah, I got the guy. I caught the bad guy. What a strange movie.
So
wouldn't you be surprised if every time a policeman has to catch someone, he must first phone his wife and ask for help?
So
That's the picture of Ahab. He did not step up when he was supposed to step up. Now the sad thing is, we grow up in a society where many men are like Ahab. Instead of living by faith, instead of carrying a kingdom-minded advanced mentality, they just watch and wait. They just watch and wait. And I've learned this. People are happy with a certain amount of responsibility. But they're nervous about having too much responsibility. So you get many guys who want to be in the band or singing in the choir. But not many people want to lead the music team. You want some visibility, but you want limited responsibility. It's missing the point. You're not even seeing the question. The question is, what does God want you to do for Him? But when you step back, you have no spiritual passion. There's no holy aggression in your life. The sad part is you don't make war against sin. You don't fight for what's right, for justice. You partake a bit, you dabble a bit in the world. Yeah, you compromise. You mix up your life with light and dark. It starts often with our own the example from even our own families. Our parents sometimes set a bad example. If you had a passive father, then you probably grow up to be passive yourself. Do you know what we've noticed? Looking at many churches in Madagascar, you'll see that there's lots of children. They get up to about 15 years old. And then there's fewer and fewer. When you get into your early 20s, there's still some men around. But from about 30 years old to maybe 45, not many men. Those are the men who are living just to have some food to eat. Worrying about whether they're having enough children that are looked after by their wife. Considering having an affair or maybe having an affair. Not having any vision for the kingdom of God. Not involved in the purposes of God. Not leading in their society. just living a bit for themselves and probably quite bored.
Ye nyai na wan ni tena fotsiny de mety hoe fizana fotsiny.
There's another story.
Misy tantara anankiray hafa.
You also know this story.
Fantatrareo koa ty tantara ty.
It's about David.
Momba David ilay izy.
David's one of his worst moments.
David atao amin'ilay fotoana ratsiny indrindra.
Remember David killed Goliath.
Tadidinareo David namonany Goliath.
David took over from King Saul and became the greatest king of Israel.
I David dia nandray fahefana avy amin'ny Saul mpanjaka Saul dia lasa mpanjaka geza lehibe indrindra tao amin'ny Israel.
Fought many battles.
Ary niady ady bebe.
But then in 2 Samuel 11:1, it says, in the spring of the year, the time when kings go out to battle, David sent Joab. In the time when kings go out to battle,
when of Tola the Tukumi, Ivan Panzaka Yat,
who was David?
He is David,
the king.
Panzakis.
He sent Joab.
The Joab and Malifan.
There are men that say, oh, I'm not going to go.
I'll
send my wife.
Malifan will fight.
I go to pastors' conferences. You know who's there? The pastor's wife.
Father pastor.
Come on.
I say.
I'm serious. This is ridiculous to me as a foreigner. I think, are they mad? The South African man doesn't send his wife as a substitute. Because no one can substitute for me. I can't live by proxy through someone else. You understand, just you think, oh no, I'll stay at home. What was they doing? What was David doing? It says he stayed in Jerusalem. The next verse says it happened late one afternoon when David got up from his couch and was walking on the roof of his house. He saw from the roof a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful. It's the time when kings go to war. And where's David? On his couch. It's like a bed. He's not sitting up. He's been lying down. And now it's the afternoon. How boring. He's not living the adventure. He's not pursuing a vision. He hasn't got his eyes on the purposes of God. And there are loads of people around us who live their lives like that. And so the devil says, oh, if you don't want to follow God, let me show you another vision. Vision of Bathsheba.
Most
beautiful woman. So David looks there and he sees the naked lady. What happens next is adultery. Then murder. No good fruit comes from passivity. No good fruit comes out of just sitting back and watching the world.
I'll
drive down the road.
mandea contul fiara în mare.
And you see loads of people.
Te mai te roul pe tipi.
And you know what they do?
Ei te fata să roi nu zăra.
Standing around, sitting around.
Țara, țara, de fuzne, de pe la pe la, de fuzne.
And I watch, I look to see their eyes.
Te mi-ai zăra cum ți-l mașu zăreu?
And so many of them, they notice me.
Te pete cam zăreu an numați chiar tălăr.
Their eyes are just searching around. Why aren't their eyes on a task? And they look bored. And the most exciting thing that happened is they saw a vazar go past.
Vazar.
And I want to turn around and say, get a life. That's an expression. Get a life, meaning what you are living is not life. That's you bored, you wasting time. Live for something greater than just watching the world go by. Lack of leadership, lack of vision. Passivity.
Come.
Nothing good comes out of that. David had hung up his fighting gear.
Ni i Davida na metaka na mantuna lei fa ni akantu fia din retaret.
Right in the middle of the battle.
Rauta
and in Madagascar churches, the men from 30 to 45 years old are missing. And then you get the old guys. They're still in church, or maybe they came back again. Hands up, young men, if there's anyone here who's under 30 years old. Who's under 30? Men under 30. Okay.
Yeah.
And let's see the men who are from 30 years old and up to 40. Who's between 30 and 40? Okay, so it's far fewer already. There were probably two times as many hands now of the ones under 30. That means your test is coming. You see, if you're under 30, you get passionate, but then there's a time when you really need to step up, to persevere, to push through. And then the enemy comes and says, just park off, just back off, just slow down. What about living for some of your own dreams? And then you end up like David. On the couch in the afternoon. When God had some glorious mission for you. But you took off your armor. No good fruit came out of that. I need to figure out how to end this now. What I wanted to get to with you guys this morning is that you understand that it is an abomination to God to be when you are passive. If you have lived your life at your pace for your purposes. Your vision is too small. God wants every one of us to step up. There's a verse that says the kingdom of God advances forcefully. And everyone is forcing their way into it. The season ahead for us is going to require each of us to see something bigger. To start to develop some kind of a kingdom vision of how God wants to use you in His purposes. Not just the elders, not just the musicians, every single person is called to something by God. And if you say today, God, I'm willing to step into that, you might not even know what it is. But you have to start by saying, here am I, I'm willing. I'm not going to live a passive life. I'm not going to sit and just watch the world pass by. I'm willing to step up and lead into every area that God's called me to lead into. That's what God wants from you. Male, female, doesn't matter. God doesn't want us to be passive. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask for your conviction on our hearts. Lord, if we've been spectators to life, may we reject that this morning. May we no longer feel sorry for ourselves like Ahab. May we not sit on the couch bored like David. But may we get up and pursue your purposes. God, I pray for each person here. That you would develop and grow a kingdom vision in our hearts. And stir up zeal for your house within us. So that we can live up to the great call that you've given us. And our lives can be spent for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.